the business.
I did get to go ride my bike, too. And then we did a bike ride and had a huge turnout, and a bunch of people from Springfield came over. And it's interesting listening to them talking about Decatur, and they like coming over here.
Yeah, they do. We always had, I think, for a long time, this sort of thing where like Springfield sort of thought they were better than we were. I mean, a little bit of that. And now it's like I get talk to people from Springfield all the time. They go, we don't have this, we don't have that.
They're jealous of our downtown.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. All right, great stuff. FleetFeetDecaturIL.com or SpinCity.co.
And what's the Shoreline
Classic? Also check on the Shoreline Classic website at?
ShorelineClassic.com.
There you go.
That's easy.
Very easy. Yeah. We'll take a break for the top of the hour news. Back with more. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Now Decatur app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Now Decatur and WSOY Decatur.
Brett Kavanaugh is about to be on the hot seat. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The Supreme Court nominee's confirmation hearing starts next hour. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley chairs the Judiciary Committee.
We've got more documents on this person than anybody else in the history of the Supreme Court nominees.
42,000 more pages were released last night, prompting Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to again call for a delay. Democrats are also upset documents from Kavanaugh's time as Bush administration staff secretary were not released. Fox's Rachel Sutherland live in Washington.
Dave, an excerpt released of his opening remarks. Judge Kavanaugh will say, if confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, he'll be part of a team of nine, committed to deciding cases according to the Constitution and laws of the United States. He will also say he doesn't decide cases based on personal or policy preferences, and that a good judge must be an umpire, a neutral and impartial arbiter. Democrats have been blasting a 2009 law review article in which Kavanaugh wrote criminal investigations should be deferred while a U.S. president is in office. Dave.
Rachel, they're doing storm prep along the Gulf Coast, getting ready for Gordon.
I'm just going for the safe part versus sorry.
He's filling sandbags in Long Beach, Mississippi.
The Hurricane Center is saying we're going to have a hurricane, a minimal hurricane as it make land, if it makes landfall, somewhere perhaps around the Biloxi, Mississippi area, and then it lifts northward.
Fox meteorologist Janice Steen says it could come ashore tonight. 2 days before the NFL season starts, former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who started the lingering kneeling for the national anthem controversy, has a new endorsement deal with Nike. He'll even get his own clothing and shoe line. Some Kaepernick critics were angry online. S.Clancy79 on Twitter posted a video of him burning his Nike shoes.
Not only am I burning my favorite pair of Nikes, you are burning your sales. Have a good day.
The CEO for USA Gymnastics, Kerry Perry, has reportedly resigned in the fallout of the sexual abuse scandal involving Dr. Larry Nassar, who's in prison for life for molestation and child porn. Fox News, fair and balanced.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, during the Dell annual sale, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers and using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dvcpromos for details.
I used to post to job boards.
Only to sort through tons of resumes.
Just to find a few candidates for
my sales team.
My hair salons.
That old process was
not smart. Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology scans resumes for me to find the right people.
And actively invites them to apply.
So I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
WSOY News Time is 7:03. Heroic Gage Studios in Mount Zion has landed a big name for its ongoing Frightful 5000 film project, Trick and Treat. Malcolm McDowell, who has had roles in A Clockwork Orange, Caligula, Time After Time, and Star Trek Generations, among others, will be the voice of Trick in the movie. Eric Hector, creative director at Heroic Gage Studios, said, "I was honored to work with Malcolm McDowell. He's truly a great actor who is bringing a lot to the movie." In 2016, Heroic Age Studios began reaching out to 5,000 horror fans to sign up and put in $60 for the project. As a member of the Frightful 5000, you will help choose actors and actresses by voting in online screen tests. Your name will be listed in the credits as a producer, and you'll have access to behind-the-scenes videos. A casting call for the remaining roles in the SAG-AFTRA ultra-low-budget independent film was announced in August. You can find a link to the casting call information with the story at NowDecatur.com. In sports, Bryce Harper swung into action after being down ill for the past week, and he hit a tying two-run home run in the ninth inning and delivered a sac fly in the 10th that sent the Nationals over the Cardinals 4-3 yesterday. It was the Milwaukee Brewers over the Cubs 4-3, and the White Sox beat the Tigers 4-2. Cardinal baseball again tonight as they take on the Nats once again. We'll have that for you. It comes your way at 5:55. Your three-day forecast is on the way next. Your next news at the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media. Media made.
1 in 6 people in America go hungry every day. But fortunately, there's something you can do to help. Come by Hickory Point Bank's event in Central Park benefiting the WSOY food drive on Wednesday, September 12th from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Stop by in the morning and grab a coffee from Blue Brew, or at lunchtime, grab a famous beach house meal with a portion of the proceeds going directly to the food drive. Drop off canned goods or make a donation. The need is large, but you can help. Wednesday, September 12th, Central Park. Hickory Point Bank invested.
There's a secret ingredient to a healthier life, one that's available right here, and that's your local pharmacy staff. Our pharmacy staff at Dale Southlake and Coley's Corner are your medication experts. We're professionals who understand that dispensing our knowledge about your prescriptions are just as important as the medication itself. Buying local keeps more money here, not in a big box CEO's pocket out of town. Stop in Dale Southlake Pharmacy or Coley's Corner Drugs today, or call 429-5165 for free delivery. We're friends helping friends.
Here is Jeff Daly with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Sunny today with a high of 91 degrees, clear 71 tonight. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 90. There is a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, and then a 50-50 chance of showers and storms Thursday with a cloudy day. Cooler with a high of 80 degrees. 72 at the studios in downtown Decatur.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, September 4th edition of Byers & Company. We're live in the Palatial Studios. State Representative Bill Mitchell will join us, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and the Redbird Report with Mike Claiborne. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here live on a Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your work week. Back after the three-day weekend, we have the full Labor Day Pops video coming from last night. Packed house at Hickory Point Golf Course for Sergey and the crew as they put on an incredible concert. We also have the Arthur Cheese Festival, part of our Hot 25. That video is up as well if you'd like to check it out at nowdecatur.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and we'll check in with Mike Claiborne about the Cardinals' resurgence, although it's been a bit of a slide. How many have we lost in a row now?
Three
in a row? Is that, are you worried now, or are you back?
No. Okay. I'm waiting to see exactly what they develop into still at this point.
But it's a little bit late to be developing.
Yeah, I know.
September
4th, right? That's kind of what I thought.
All right. We have tickets to give away courtesy of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. It is my great pleasure to welcome State Representative Bill Mitchell, who joins us here as a member of the Illinois House of Representatives. You are, is it the 101st district now? You started out in the 87th district. Is that correct?
102nd.
Okay. It was 102nd. Then the
87th. Then 101.
All right. Pull that microphone just a little bit closer if you don't mind. All right. So the map's been redrawn then three times in your career?
Correct. Yes.
Look at this picture of you on Wikipedia. Believe that?
That's how young you
look. Yeah, look at that. You look like a kid. How many years in Springfield?
39 then.
How many years in Springfield?
Oh, it'll be by the end time I end, it'll be 20.
20 years. All right. Mm-hmm. So when I started this show, and you were at the very beginning of your political career, you were a serving Decatur City Councilman, right. Macon County Republican Chairman. You were the Mayor Pro Tem, I believe, for a short period.
Uh-huh. All right. Yes.
So you went to school at Eastern Illinois University. Mm-hmm. You got a degree in political science. Is politics what you always wanted to do?
Yeah, that's always what I wanted to do. Then I worked for Edgar. That's what my job was. And then I went into the General Assembly.
All right. So has it been, if you look back over the 20-plus years of doing this, are you satisfied? I mean, has it been a satisfying career?
Well, that's a good question and a hard question. It's been personally satisfying. I've certainly enjoyed it. I'll miss people. Been in politics a long time. Been in elective office now, almost 30 years. So I'll miss that. It's been disappointing the last several years.
Yeah, but it's not been easy to be a politician these days.
No, I mean, Springfield is not, it's underperformed, you can say, over the last.
All right, so is it really different today than it was 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
In what way?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, you didn't have the financial problems. I mean, governors, even George Ryan, when I first, and I served under, I worked for Jim Edgar, then my first governor was George Ryan. You can say a lot of bad things about George Ryan, but he did govern. And the last several governors haven't been good in terms of governing. They really haven't been candid with the people of Illinois. Okay, if you want this much government, you'll have to pay for it.
Okay, so what's the difference then between you walk through George Ryan, Blagojevich, you know, Pat Quinn, Bruce Rauner? You know, is it really the governor? To me, the governor seems to have less power.
No, the governor of Illinois, this is, it's kind of a misnomer, because the governor of Illinois constitutionally is a very powerful governor. Whether they use that power well or not, I don't know. But, I mean, for instance, the governor has a line item veto. The governor has a reduction veto. Those are types that the president of the United States does not enjoy at all. So, you know, it's part of the talent is governing, and they have not governed very well.
Okay, is that a sign of a lack of political intelligence on behalf of the governors, or is that a legislature that's sort of under 40 plus years of Mike Madigan? Sure. I mean, it's hard for me to blame. I'm not a huge Bruce Rauner fan and everything he does, but it's hard for me to look at the last 2, 3, 4 years and say that the state of Illinois isn't in the shape it's in because of Bruce Rauner.
No, I don't think that's the case. But I think I said in the last several governors have been disappointing to me. But, you know, Madigan, I've been in the House for 20 years and, you know, have had very few conversations. I've never voted for him for Speaker of the House of Representatives. Madigan is what Madigan is. He gets his power, a derivative of the Democratic caucus, or the Sue Scheer votes for him. I don't. As Madigan always says, we're appropriators. That means the General Assembly appropriates money, and usually governors trim it back. Now, I don't think that's a responsible thing. You should not pass unbalanced budgets, which they, of course, have over the years. But governors have to say, okay, if you want this much service, then you're going to have to pay for it. And they have not said that.
Okay. So, but they've made Bruce Rauner, you know, public enemy number one for being too tough. What else? I mean, and you're suggesting,
explain,
I think,
too tough.
Well, I mean, that's what the narrative has been put on him by Democrats. He's cutting this, he's cutting that. He doesn't care about this. He doesn't care about that.
Governor Rauner is he hasn't cut enough.
Okay. But you know what they're doing to him. Right now, his unfavorables are upside down.
Yes. Part of that is his responsibility. I mean, going 736 days without a budget.
But wasn't that by being tough?
I think that's by being irresponsible.
Okay, but couldn't he say, I was trying to do exactly what Bill Mitchell just said I should do, which is be tough?
He didn't use the tools that I just described. He didn't use a reduction veto.
Okay.
He's never used a reduction veto.
Why?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him. He has not line-itemed things out of the budget. I mean, you cannot say, and I don't want to be overcritical, Governor Rauner, but you can't say you're a fiscal conservative and then say, oh, we're going to pay for abortions in the state of Illinois. Even when the Democrats had the General Assembly and the governorship, they didn't do that. So, I mean, I don't think he can say he's a fiscal conservative.
Okay, that seems to be maybe more of a moral issue or
I think it's both.
Okay, well, I mean, to many people.
Yeah, I mean, to me it's a moral issue and a fiscal issue. I mean, Governor Edgar was pro-choice. But he never said, okay, taxpayers are going to have to pay for people's abortions. Pat Quinn didn't. Rod Blagojevich didn't. George Ryan didn't. Governor Rauner did, and that was a grave disappointment.
Okay, did he do that to sort of win back some popularity or to try to buy back some sort of, you know, because his internal numbers are horrible. You know, one thing that Madigan...
He's less popular in Illinois than Trump.
Yeah, it truly is. Yeah. And so is Madigan, by the way.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not just one side or the other. Yeah. But it seems to me like we have this battle like the lesser of two evils. That's what we have in politics anymore, right? I mean, we don't have anybody we're inspired to vote for. It's just sort of we'll pick this guy or this gal over this guy or this gal because they're the lesser.
You probably could say
evils.
That 20 years ago, because the Americans, and that's probably a good thing, they don't focus on politics. So it is the lesser of two evils. What I'm saying is that governors should at least be candid with the people of Illinois. And let me give you an example, if I may. I mean, everyone's talking about how great the education reform package is. And it might be. But what they're not talking about is going to be very, very costly. Just in the next 3 years, it's going to require $1 billion of additional money. Now, I'm kind of familiar with the state budget. I don't know where you're going to find that $1 billion unless you have to cut something. And the governor hasn't cut anything like $1 billion. So, I mean, that's fine. If you want these programs, then pay for them and be honest with them. Okay, we're either going to have to cut services, and what are you going to cut? A, B, or C.
But that just seems to be an anathema. I mean, no one in Springfield actually does math that way.
Then that's unfortunate.
No, I mean, it is unfortunate, but that's what they've always done. And I think they've always been able to kick that can down the road.
The last governor, which is a trivia, what's the last governor that's actually reduced the state budget? You wouldn't think this would be George Ryan.
Yeah.
But he had to.
Yeah, but George Ryan also had a different sort of relationship with the Democratic Party in the state of Illinois. Did he not? I mean, there was a deal to shut out Glenn Pichard, to give George Ryan. I mean, it was a whole different time then.
It was. We weren't nearly in the fiscal problems we're in.
No, but I bet it was. He had a comfortable relationship with Chicago Democrats than Bruce Rauner does. Maybe even more than Pat Quinn did.
A creature of the legislature. You can say that's for good or that's for ill, but he was Speaker of the House. He knew how the General Assembly worked.
Yeah, he's also lining his pockets from Secretary of State employees.
Certainly was. And Jim Edgar knew how things worked. Jim Thompson learned how things worked.
But it was a different time, though, right? I know we like to say things are still the same, but it was a different – 20 years ago was a different time. Politics was not as confrontational and as mean-spirited and as –
Certainly not. I mean, you can
– Superficial media, as it is today.
Social media contributed to that, things like that. But, it wasn't. But we didn't have the information as readily available as you have it right now.
Yeah, but that, you know what? People don't want to dig and actually do the research and get the actual information. They'd rather be able to be superficial. I get that. I think it's everybody's job.
The legislator's job is to say, okay, this is what the state budget, and I know it's very boring, but if you want, the two biggest items in the state budget are education and health care, and you're going to have to cut it.
All right, let's go back to when you first ran for office. Mm-hmm. That was considered to be an ugly campaign. By today's standards, I think it would just be normal, right?
Mm-hmm. It was certainly... I remember when I ran it, I spent $300,000, and that was astronomical. And my opponent spent maybe $400,000.
All right, so but $700,000, there won't be that much spent in either one of our state rep races.
You spend, not locally, but in competitive races. You spent over one district, we spent $3 million.
Okay, but there's very few of those districts left. That's the point.
That's due to large part to the map problem.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, in some ways, the money is less today in my mind than it was because there are fewer competitive races. There's fewer competitive districts. I don't know why. I look at Andy Menard, has got, $600,000. I mean, that's considered an astronomical sum versus his opponent. And maybe the only map that is sort of still, I guess if you just looked at the map, would say that's fairly competitive. If you look at Dan Calkins versus Jim McMillan, or you look at Sue Scheer versus whatever the guy's name is running against her, there's no race there. They don't have to raise anything because those seats are already guaranteed.
And that's just because of the map. And so if you have redistricting reform, which really would be the biggest reform I can see down the road, is make districts more competitive because competition is not a bad thing.
All right, so why have you enjoyed a pretty non-competitive district for most of your political career?
Well,
under the power of the Democrats.
The Democrats gave it because they always wanted – I'm adjacent to Decatur. So they always wanted to make the Decatur seat more Democratic. And so they would give – they didn't care about me. They just wanted to give whomever, whether it's Julie Curry, Bob Flyder, or now Sue Scheer, a Democrat district.
Yeah, but why not go after you? The way they've gone after some Republicans.
Well,
I mean, they basically drew Duane Nolan out of a seat.
Well, in 2003, my district was 80% new.
Yeah.
I was put with two other. Every reapportionment district, I've been put with other Republicans. It's just I haven't been for luck or I've survived. But they've always put me with other Republicans. Basically, it's because they wanted to make Decatur more Democratic.
Is that all of it?
Well, that's,
I mean, you've had some unusual people that have backed your political career.
Well, there was, no one ever told me what my legislative district was going to look like. I just got it when
no,
you.
No, I realize that, but I'm saying, when was the last time you had an opponent?
2 years ago.
When was the last time you had a real opponent?
Probably my first race.
Okay, right, Lee Holzhauer, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but 40% of the time, I had an opponent.
Okay, but I'm saying a real opponent.
Right. I mean, and that's due. To the legislative map.
All right, but Bob Flyder had an opponent like every time. I mean, there was somebody lined up to run against him. For whatever reason, the Democrats didn't. They sort of let you be you.
Hopefully, you did your job in terms of that. I got around my district. I worked my district hard. I tried to, at least.
But you had a different style. I mean, not everyone has the same style.
No, of course not.
I mean, you're not the public sort of guy. I mean, you're not the guy who shows up at every ribbon cutting or does all the stuff that a lot of these folks do.
I did my share, but certainly not in the last few
years. It's not a pejorative. I'm just saying as a description, you weren't the guy who showed up to get your picture taken.
I try to be seen in the district as much as I could. I try to do a good job.
Yeah.
I'm certainly had my faults.
All right, back to the original question then. Satisfying career, what are you proud of? You look back over 20 years.
Clinton was the most, the Clinton power plant thing.
Okay.
Because that was the most tangible I felt that could have shut down.
Is that a long-term solution or is that a temporary solution?
10-year solution.
Yeah.
Hopefully, maybe the things will correct in terms of the energy industry that they won't need that. I mean, it's government involved.
The way we subsidize energy is beyond my grasp. I don't understand.
I learned a lot during that period because the bill originated, the Clinton power plant bill originated in the House, so I worked lots of hours, so I learned a lot about the energy industry.
How bad would that have been for Clinton in particular, but just for the entire surrounding?
But even for here in Macon, I mean, you had people here. I mean, Richland Community College got $1 million from the power plant in terms of revenue, so it would have been horrible.
All right. So do you regret spending your life doing this?
No.
I mean, as you look back, nothing in your control, just the way Springfield is, the way the state is, do you feel like you've spent 20 years sort of like, banging at your windmills, because of the system?
Good question. No, I don't regret anything. I mean, there's certain things in my life, of course, I regret. But I regret that we've had a lack of leadership in Illinois. That's what I do regret.
All right. Speak honestly to me about the Republican Party in the state of Illinois. You know, I've had this argument a lot over the years. I think they're happy being backbenchers. I think they're happy putting up weak candidates. I think that they're about as lame gets in the state of Illinois, the Republican Party. I mean, the Democrats have handed you everything you need. I mean, everything but the keys to the kingdom, and as far as a disaster way to run this state. Yet Republicans keep churning out mediocre candidates. They don't support the ones that seem decent. What is wrong with the Illinois Republican Party?
Well, I mean, for over the last 20 years, one of the things...
And you don't have to do anything anymore. January, you're done. You don't have to raise money for these people. You don't have to do anything.
Illinois has gotten more Democratic over the period of time I've been here, particularly in the suburbs. Excuse me.
Yeah, it has.
So that's a factor.
But let's look at Macon County, right? We talk about Decatur and being heavy Democrat. Yeah, if you look at presidential races...
Macon County as a whole is trended more Republican.
As a whole, for the party. But it went in double digits for George W. Bush. It went double digits for Barack Obama. It went double digits for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'd have to go back to 08, and I don't think Barack Obama carried Macon County in 12. And I just think he barely squeezed by in 08, but I'll have to go look at those numbers again. But it's certainly not a Republican county, but it's certainly a more of an independent county.
Yeah.
But when I got involved 30-plus years ago, it was a Democratic county.
It truly was. But what's happened over the last number of years? I mean, Dan Calkins, as far as Republican candidates are concerned.
Gosh. I can only say in my caucus, the House Republican caucus, we've got 50, let's see how many members. They have 67. We have 51 members. Okay?
Right.
So of those 51 members, more than half of them have been in office less than two terms. Okay, so you got a lot of new people. So if you call for term limits, we have them, and there's just attrition, turnover like that. So a lot of the people my colleagues are coming in don't know government very well, don't know Illinois' budget process, which they should get to know, and they just think they're experts, and I don't think they like government very well. So that they go off half-cocked and aren't very good politicians.
All right. So, but why is the Republican Party itself in Illinois? Do you think it's stronger or weaker than it was 20 years ago when you first entered the fray?
Much weaker.
Yeah.
I mean, much weaker because Governor Rauner has a part to play in this also because he just bought the party. I mean, when you just give, I mean, this is unheard of, when you give a caucus millions of dollars, I mean, George Ryan, Jim Edgar, Jim Thompson couldn't do that. They had to use the levers of the governorship, whether it's patronage, projects, things like that, that they'd have to do. And so they built a Republican Party. Now that there is certainly a top-down rather than a bottom-up party, well, there is no grassroots anymore. That's too bad. I think the Democrats are much better at building a grassroots party than we are.
Okay. What about local candidates, over the last few years? I mean, obviously, Sue Scheer is not popular. Yet she wins handily because it seems like the Republicans can't put somebody.
The district is just a very hard district for. I mean, it's got the inner city of Decatur and the inner city of Springfield and connective tissue to it. So, I mean, the district is drawn to be a Democrat, and it's hard. You had Cindy Dittrich, and she dropped out.
Now, if you ask her why she dropped out, she will tell you lack of support from the Republican Party.
Well, she might say that. Yeah, I understand that.
But yet Mike Bell had the full support of the Republican Party.
I don't know that. I mean, I'm not the Republican Party, but when Cindy came and talked to me, I told her not to run.
Why is that?
Just because I said it's going to be a tough year. It's going to be hard. Can you raise? Anyone who comes to me and I said, can you raise for a General Assembly race, a House race, for instance, can you raise $100,000 on your own? I mean, because no one's going to give you any money unless you show that you can raise money independently. I would have told her the same thing. And if you can't raise $100,000, then just don't run.
Yeah, but how many Republican candidates over the last 10, 15 years have raised $100,000 by themselves?
Well,
here locally.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Why can't...
I mean, you used to get... Well, now, it's an unfortunate thing that you have an anomaly. You've got people going to the General Assembly, for instance, that are picked by the governor, for instance, put in there, and that they have very little community experience. I mean, when I got here, even though I was much younger, I'd been around, was chairman of the Republican Party, so you could hopefully raise some money and things like that. You had some contacts with the community. I mean, that's what you need for a good candidate. I mean, I think the reliance on either Michael Madigan or Bruce Rauner is not a good thing for democracy.
But you're relying on somebody. I guess to me that's like sort of the moralistic splitting of hairs.
Extent,
I mean, you're relying on somebody buying you.
We've never had this to this extent.
Well, the Democrats have.
Because they've had Madigan.
Yeah.
But we haven't. And I don't think it's really good for democracy.
Okay, but isn't somebody buying you? I mean, with you, it was always
You have to go out and you have to raise money. And obviously that was always a part of my job. I just thought it was horrible. I didn't like it.
I get that. That's a normal feeling to have, by the way. Anybody that enjoys doing that, there's something wrong with it.
Some people do.
But you got strange donations. I mean, as a Republican, I mean, I never understood why the teachers union was a big fan of yours. I didn't understand why they were writing you checks after you decided not to run again.
But you had to build coalitions.
Yeah, but okay. But what's the difference between the teachers union writing a big fat check to you after you've announced you're not running again and Governor Bruce Rauner putting money into a race?
Well, I guess it would be the extent of the money, $10,000 you're talking about versus...
Yeah, but why would somebody give $10,000 to a person who's not running for office?
You'll have to ask them, but hopefully...
Oh, come on. They gave it to you. I'm asking you.
Hopefully they supported what I was doing in the General Assembly. I had a year and a half left to go. So to answer your question, what did I do with the money? What will I do with the money?
Yeah.
It'll go to the House Republicans.
So you're going to turn around and give it to somebody, but you're saying because it's less than what Rauner's giving, it's not part of the same problem?
Well, I mean, you got to raise money. I mean, to the extent, you have to raise money.
But, Bill,
money,
you can't get a little bit pregnant. I mean, all of this is the same behavior.
You've got to raise money. There's a huge difference, but a huge chasm. Say, okay, I'm going to rely on Uncle Bruce for $1.5 million versus, and the maximum PAC can give you is $50,000. There's a big difference there. Between a million. I mean, that's what we've
Yeah, there's zeros.
Done.
There's difference in zeros. There's no difference. But there's no difference in intent, though. I mean, the teachers, you just said,
in effect,
you said you had a year.
In
effect, we're talking about just the number of zeros.
And that's a big difference in politics.
It might make a big difference, but it's the exact same thing.
So I have to go out and.
I mean, so you say, but you're not going to go do your job for the final year without the teachers giving you $10,000?
I didn't say that. I didn't solicit that. They sent it to me.
But didn't you go, why the hell are you giving me $10,000?
No, because
I'm not running.
I have to support other Republican candidates. I mean, I'm a system
Republican.
And
why would the teachers want you to support other Republican candidates?
Hopefully they like what I've done in the General Assembly. You'll have to ask them, but... You never thought asking them?
I mean, if somebody wrote me a $10,000 check, I think I would go, hey, why am I getting...
Republican leader, I have to give $40,000 to the House Republicans. I mean, that's part of my job.
Okay,
I have to.
But that 40 grand is okay because it's a smaller amount in your mind than what Bruce Brown is doing.
Well, I think you're putting words in my mouth. What I'm saying is that there's a huge difference from what it used to be when you have to go out and piecemeal raise money to relying on one person. That's a huge difference.
All right.
I mean,
the only difference
we used to never have.
I got it. The only difference I see is that Mike Madigan's been doing that for years. I mean, Sue Scheer's stuff doesn't even come from Sue Scheer's office. It comes from the office of Mike Madigan. She doesn't even send her own press releases out. The Democrats have been doing it for years. The only difference is they've been successful. The Republicans...
they have had the map.
Oh, yes.
That's a big difference.
But you guys had a brief opportunity to have the map. You had a brief opportunity to have the House. And what did you worry about? Who's going to have what office?
In my 20 years, I've never been the majority. We've never had the map.
No, but you had that brief time where Mike Madigan was out of power. But what happened, though? I mean, to the best of your memory, what happened with the Republicans? Did they actually get to governing like they said they would do?
You might say they argue too well.
Or did they argue about who was going to get what office and what chair?
I was working for Jim Edgar, so I had a little bit of a look. I think, and if you'd ask Dwayne Nolan, he was in the majority, is they did so many things in their first 2 years. They only were in the majority 2 years. In 1994, that they were like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they just really did. I mean, they did workman's comp reform, which was ruled tort reform unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. They did a lot of big things, school reform back then.
Didn't Jim Edgar try to do something that would have fixed education at the time? Was basically
Well, he tried to do what I think is better than what we've done this time. He tried to make it less reliant on property taxes.
And why was that defeated?
Maybe the suburbs and the Senate Republicans defeated that one.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried to do that. I mean, it's interesting that in 1994, Don Clark Netsch ran on that plan, and he busted her on it, and then he went back and had almost a similar plan in his second term.
All right. Overall, when you, you're going to take a vacation anywhere? Like, you know, go somewhere to a beach, and they say, what do you do? And say, I'm a politician from Illinois. Are you proud of
that? That's always
that?
Wonderful. Yeah. When you go to an airport and tell someone that. No big vacations.
Yeah. What are you going to do with your life?
People ask that, and I have no
Come on. You got to have some idea of what you're going to do. You've lived and breathed this stuff for 20-plus years.
I probably will be depressed, you know, just a little bit, because I have done this. I'll miss the people. That's what I'll miss a lot.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to lobby. I never would have...
But do you know, I mean, you know, are you shutting, I mean, careful, because you learned this with term limits, but, you know, what you say is recorded. You're not going to do anything like that?
I don't have any plans.
Okay.
No one's offered me.
So, I mean, you're literally going to retire. Like, retire.
That is my plan.
How old are you? You're 58?
I'll be 59.
59. Okay. 59, you're too young to not do anything.
I probably have to do. I don't like winters, so I'll probably try to get away for the wintertime.
You're going to, like, turn in like a snowbird.
Oh. Well, I've talked to Mike Tate. You know, remember Mike Tate?
I remember Mike Tate. What's Mike Tate's in Florida now?
He's in Florida right now.
Yeah?
And so he just moved down there, so I've talked to him and. He's enjoying life.
You're going to go sit around with a bunch of retired politicians and talk about the way things used to be?
He's a much better golfer, to say the least.
All right. I got to ask you before we get out of here. And you're, by the way, I think we should have Bill back on a regular occurrence up until January when he's done, because I want his political insight now that he's like unfettered and not attached. You don't have to, you can be completely honest about everything. And you always have been.
Try to be.
Well, no, you've always come in, and I've always respected that about you. You will come in and take the tough questions and have the tough conversations. But when you look back at everything, and now it looks like Dan Calkins is going to be your successor. Are you surprised at that at all?
I've always liked Dan. You know, I always thought I saw this picture over here that Tuna would probably
be the next guy.
Do it, and you know, the good Lord had that different.
The good Lord and some of your supporters. Now, come on, that was an organized thing.
For what?
When you were floating out there that you weren't going to run again to keep Tuna from running against you?
Oh, no, I that was not. I was never afraid of a Republican primary, I can tell you that.
You weren't afraid of Tuna?
No.
Really?
No.
Seriously?
I respected the man.
You didn't have supporters contacting people about putting out feelers about, well, this is going to be your last run to keep people out of that race?
No.
Never?
I would never have a supporter do that. I would give my word on that.
Ever?
Never.
Ever? Ever.
To stop someone to run against me?
Then when Tuna was thinking about running.
First of all, he never told me that.
Okay, I'm just telling you, when he was thinking about running, there were phone calls going out at the same time. I received one. Kevin Burhaney received one. I'm not going to go into that. I'll tell you off there if you want to know. That there was feelers being out there that this is Bill's last run. He's not going to run again. This will be it. And that was, by the way, two races ago. So it clearly wasn't your last run. No. You didn't have anything to do with any of that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
All right. And you weren't afraid of Tune?
No. I was never afraid. I was never afraid of any... Never afraid of any opponent.
Why is that?
Just because you do your job. I mean, if you do your job, then I've always kind of been kind of perverse in this. It is like the competition.
Yeah.
I mean, a race is not a bad thing.
Yeah, but you haven't had a race in 20 years.
Had
a race in 20 years? The last was Lee Holsapple.
Right, correct. Not in Tier 1.
Yeah.
Not a Tier 1 race, but I was never... I mean, I always thought, you know, I would never have been afraid of a race. No.
So, you're on the beach, not playing golf, whatever it is you're doing, retired Illinois politician, mm-hmm. not in jail. See, that's the big difference, because most are. You're proud or not proud of the 20 years you spent doing this?
I think I'm proud. In whole, if people would have listened to me in terms of the General Assembly, 18 years ago, I was talking about the budget's out of whack. If they would have listened to me and restrained the growth of spending, we would have not been in this mess now. We're still in a mess.
All right. Dan Calkins, you're going to support him wholeheartedly?
I went through the district last week with him, and, yeah, I'm supporting him.
Okay.
He's a Republican. I would support any nominee. He's a friend of mine, so I support him, yeah.
Do you feel a little bad, this is the last question, about some of the things? I printed your Wikipedia page. It's three paragraphs. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that that means anything. I don't think I even have one. So three paragraphs. Second paragraph, that you and State Representative Adam Brown tried to propose statehood for Cook County. Some of the stuff, the stunt stuff like that, even like I think the thing you did last week with Dan about, you know, wanting people to go to work on welfare.
That's not a stunt. We should talk about that because that's important.
Is that really important to most people in Illinois? I mean, like in their lives right now.
I don't know what they cover, but I mean, when you look at every state surrounding Illinois with the exception of Kentucky,
requirement. That will fix that. That's going to fix our problems.
I didn't say that. Nowhere did I say everything's going to be a panacea after we do this. But you cannot, and that's one of the problems in Illinois. We have too many people. I mean, the exponential growth of welfare over my period of time. I mean, that's what's causing the bankruptcy in Illinois.
That's it.
That's what's contributing to it.
Okay,
certainly.
it's a part of it. I'll agree with you. It's part of it. I don't think that. I mean, I think companies leaving, jobs leaving, people leaving, kids going to school out of state. I think there's a million reasons in the economy that you would get to before you would get to the fact that people on welfare need.
But I think because that is the biggest line item in the state budget right now. When 20 years ago,
food stamps.
No, Medicaid.
Okay, but that's not the same thing.
It's public assistance.
But no, that's not the same thing either.
No, when you're talking about SNAP,
you're talking about
benefits,
a tiny slice
when you're
of
talking about SNAP, it's 100% federal funded. Now, the federal government has a work requirement. So the federal government insists that you work, able-bodied people.
Yeah, that was under Bill Clinton.
That you work, and Illinois has asked for a waiver. What I said and what Dan Calkins said last week is Governor Ronnie shouldn't seek a waiver like he did in October of 2017.
All right, come back. This can't be the last.
No, fine.
All right, come back. State Representative Bill Mitchell. Almost in retirement. We'll take a quick break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today we got sunny skies, highs near 891 degrees. Then for tonight, clear, lows around 71 for your Wednesday. 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms in the afternoon, sunny and highs near 90. And Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and highs near 80 degrees. It's 74 degrees in downtown.
Fall is in the air, and that means it's time for high school sports. If you need to get outfitted with the best gear, come to Played Against Sports in Decatur. Located in Brentwood Village, Played Against Sports has served the Decatur area for over 25 years. Whether you're playing football, volleyball, golf, or soccer, Played Against Sports has what you need to have your best season. Looking to sell some used sports equipment? Played Against Sports will buy it. Visit PlayedAgainSportsDecaturIL.com to learn more. Played Against Sports. Everybody plays.
One in six people in America go hungry every day. But fortunately, there's something you can do to help. Come by Hickory Point Bank's event in Central Park benefiting the WSOY Food Drive on Wednesday, September 12th from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Stop by in the morning and grab a coffee from Blue Brew, or at lunchtime, grab a famous beach house meal with a portion of the proceeds going directly to the food drive. Drop off canned goods or make a donation. The need is large, but you can help. Wednesday, September 12th, Central Park. Hickory Point Bank invested.
Celebrating the best in business in Greater Decatur. Join with the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce and Hickory Point Bank to honor the finalists and winners of the annual Chamber Awards. The luncheon is September 13th at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Help us congratulate the businesses, business people, and community groups who make Decatur and Macon County a great place to work, play, and live. Visit DecaturChamber.com or call 422-2200 for tickets. Prices go up after September 7th, so order now.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here with Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. All right. A win for the Illini on Saturday, but it took a big second half.
Took a big second half. A lot has happened with Illinois football since we last visited, Brian. A game has been played. Actually, Illinois appeared to play two separate games. They played a very poor first half when people familiar with the roster looked out on the field and realized very quickly that a number of players, including five starters, were not out there. And then they played a much better second half when they finally got going, scored four touchdowns, and beat Kent State. The missing player situation was, frankly, a little bit alarming because three-quarters of their starting secondary was out, and it turns out Lovie Smith suspended five players. And this is a roster that is not deep enough to handle players being suspended for rules violations. You know, injuries are one thing, and frankly, they can't even afford those either because they just don't have that kind of depth yet. But good players like starting safety Bennett Williams, who was a freshman All-American last year, starting cornerback Nate Hobbs, who might be their best cover corner, starting tight end Lewis Dorsey, who the coaches believe has an NFL future. Those guys are supposed to care enough about football and their teammates and their coaches to not do something stupid and earn a suspension. And if any of it has to do with testing positive for smoking pot, which I'm told is a possibility, I believe those are automatic three-game suspensions. So, you know, I don't look for them this week. Fortunately, quarterback A.J. Bush got the offense going in the second half, and they won the game, so it didn't cost them a victory. But then the really tragic news didn't hit until yesterday when a very somber coach Lovie Smith said that Mike Dudek will be lost for the season again with his third major knee injury. This has been unbelievable. 2014, he was a freshman All-American with over 1,000 receiving yards, blew out his ACL in the spring of 15, missed all of that season, blew out his ACL in the spring of 16 and missed all of that season, came back last year, played seven games, had a couple of different injuries near the end of the year, and now in 2018 he appears to be done. I ran into his dad after the game. I was walking out of the stadium, and I saw him get hit over the middle, and he looked a little bit awkward. And I said to Rick Dudek, I said, what's the deal? And he said, I just saw him on the edge of the field. He gave me the thumbs up, and he said, I'm fine, Dad. So I think when Mike Dudek left the field Saturday, he believed he was okay. But obviously, I think they did an MRI after that, and it showed the some type of knee injury. So what a shame. He's probably the most popular guy on the team, he and Nikki Allegretti. They will host Western Illinois at 6:30 Saturday night, and we'll do a head count again, see who's out there.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit about the Chicago Bears with Mark Topper and Topper.
You gotta love your mom. Now that it's fall, she's a fountain of advice.
Make sure your wipers are working.
Okay, Mom.
How are your tires?
All check, Mom.
What about your brakes and your belts?
Mom, I got it.
Your mom knows those are all things you can take care of at Speed Lube. And Speed Lube has the best prices around. Plus, six area locations, including Clinton and Lincoln. And, of course, locations right here in Decatur. Speed Lube, more than just oil changes.
Now, when are you going to find a nice girl?
Oh, Mom!
Limitless.
Back here with Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. Blockbuster trade for the Chicago Bears.
It really was, Brian. I mean, the Bears shook up the NFL over the weekend when they traded for arguably the best defensive player in the league, Oakland Raiders Khalil Mack. He is a great player. He is the kind of disruptive, game-changing pass rusher that reminds me of the Hall of Famer Lawrence Taylor, you know, formerly of the New York Giants. He was Mack was named the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year in 2016. The addition of Khalil Mack and rookie linebacker Roquan Smith, and, you know, when you get them out there now with Leonard Floyd and Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Danny Trevathan and Kyle Fuller and others, should give the Bears a really good defense. And they were already ranked 10th overall last season. It was not an inexpensive acquisition. The Bears gave up their first-round draft picks in each of the next 2 years, and they signed Khalil Mack to a 6-year, $141 million deal, $90 million of that guaranteed. That's the richest contract for a defensive player in NFL history. But I love it because the Bears are improved, and I think they're done picking at number 8 in the draft. You know, and if you play better and you drop in the draft order and you're picking at 15 or lower, those first-round picks are no sure things. A player like Khalil Mack simply does not come along very often. It's a bold move. It's the kind of move that the Bears would not have done in the past. And the Bears play in a division where good quarterbacks need to be pressured. Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, Kirk Cousins now with the Vikings, Matthew Stafford with the Lions. Khalil Mack is needed to help control the damage those quarterbacks can do. So the Bears are racing to get him ready to go because they open the season Sunday night at Green Bay. That'll be fun.
All right, my friend, enjoy your day. We will check in with you first thing tomorrow morning, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. We'll check in with the Redbird Report with Mike Claiborne right on the other side of the Marquee Coffee Break, fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beer.
There's a secret ingredient to a healthier life, one that's available right here, and that's your local pharmacy staff. Our pharmacy staff at Dale Southlake and Coley's Corner are your medication experts. We're professionals who understand that dispensing our knowledge about your prescriptions are just as important as the medication itself. Buying local keeps more money here, not in a big box CEO's pocket out of town. Stop in Dale Southlake Pharmacy or Coley's Corner Drugs today, or call 429-5165 for free delivery. We're friends helping friends.
Everybody plays.
Everybody plays.
Everybody plays.
Play It Again Sports knows play. We sell and buy new and quality used sports and fitness equipment for less, and we pay on the spot so everybody can play.
Visit your locally owned Play It Again Sports, located in Brentwood Village, in Decatur, or online at playitagainsports.com.
Play It Again Sports, the official sponsor of all those who play.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Most jobs take a few steps to complete. What they shouldn't take are a few thousand actual steps roaming through a big warehouse. Instead, make a quick trip to Ace. Our neighborhood stores have the quality brands you trust, with local experts giving the advice you rely on. So Ace can help you every step along the way.
Thanks for making Kenny's Ace your local place for paint and more. We're proud to be part of the Decatur community. Stop by Kenny's Ace, a local business where you can count on getting great help.
I'm Jim Root. I'm running for Macon County Sheriff. As a sheriff, I'll be responsible with your tax dollars and be accountable to you. I will run a transparent office and maintain a department with the same values and ethics that I possess. I will ruthlessly go after criminals and drug dealers. I will provide a high level of service to the community. Please talk to the people you know at our department. I am supported by many command officers, deputies, and correctional officers. Find out more by going to JimRootForSheriff.com and please vote Jim Root, November 6th. Paid for by Jim Root for Sheriff Committee.
Employer.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Time now for the Redbird Report with Mike Claiborne, presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Mike joins us each and every Tuesday morning. All right, you know, the giving up these late-inning leads, I know we've had this resurgence of this team, but, man, the last three games have looked like, an awful lot like the first half of the season.
Yeah, Brian, you know, it's what I call part of 162, where you're going to have those moments. And it's interesting when you talk about this that 2 weeks ago when we played the Dodgers, we beat the Dodgers' best closer two of the three nights. Somebody's going to get us, too, from time to time. The key is making sure you are better than the other team in between those sort of walk-off wins. And that's what you're going through right now. I mean, every team deals with it. We're no different than anybody else. And I think the question I would ask people is, how many times have we come back to beat the other guy? And that number is higher than what we've seen over the last couple of days. And it's just one of those things you go through. And I would probably suspect that Bud will probably have the next couple, maybe 3 days off before he, well, he'll have at least 3 days off before he goes back at it. So I'm not really overly concerned. It's just one of those portions of the season where, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I listen, I don't want to make too much of anything. It's just those are bummers to lose those.
Yeah, they are. There's no doubt. You know, but again, I would remind people, when we're in L.A. and we're facing Kenley Jansen, one of the best closers in the game, and the two times we faced him, we beat him. You know, those things happen for the other, for the good guys also.
Yeah, they certainly do. All right, let's talk about the rotation on the final stretch here. You know, I'll root for Adam Wainwright as long as Adam Wainwright is around. The guy has meant so much to this team. I don't know what he means in the locker room today with the younger kids, but, you know, him getting another chance at this rotation, you got to root for the best. I don't know what to expect, but tell me what you know about Adam Wainwright
right now. Yeah, I agree with you. You won't be the more professional person on and off the field than Adam. And I think there are a lot of people that root for him. But, you know, in this business, it catches up to everyone, you know, where it's time, it's skill, it's ability, it all catches up to you. And I think we're at that crossroads with him now on him, what can he do? Can he help you? Can he make a contribution in uniform? And we're going to find out on Monday. The ideal scenario is 5 innings, maybe 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, 2 runs. That would be what I would deem a pretty good outing. You know, the question is, you know, they said they want to get him to 100 pitches. But, you know, Brian, when you throw 100 pitches in 5 innings, that tells me you're not having what I deem the best of days. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be trying to be a strikeout king, or is he going to try to put the ball in play and let the guys behind him catch it.
All right, we got the Cubs and the Brewers heading into a series. What do we want to see happen here? I mean, the Cardinals now in third place.
That's a great question. Yeah. You know, I was sitting there looking at the scoreboard yesterday and say, who am I rooting for here? And I think I'm rooting for the Cubs only because we have to win and the Cubs have to win in order for us to stay close to them. And the more the Brewers lose, the better chances we have of a wild card spot. So I think I'm rooting for the Cubs temporarily. And then we'll take our chances because, ironically, we faced the Brewers and the Cubs in the final week of the season once at home with Milwaukee, and then we go into Chicago and close the season out.
All right. So, yeah, you're exactly right. 3 on the road versus the Cubs and 3 at home versus the Brewers. If you look at the final, you know, 3 weeks or so of this season and you look at these three teams in particular, just as it pertains to the Central Division, who has the edge scheduling-wise?
Boy, that's a good question. I'm not sure. Everybody's going to have some sort of advantage. And you know what I think is the most important thing? That the schedule makers decided to have the teams within the division face each other down in the last couple, 3 weeks. You know, that's real important. But I don't know. I mean, you know, the Cardinals play well on the road. And that's something that you can't overlook. So I don't think they fear going on the road and playing Chicago or someone else. So that works in their advantage. I think the one change that they do have is that, you know, they're going to have to go to Atlanta, and we haven't played Atlanta since early in the year. That's a good team. So I look at it in regard to that aspect of playing a team you're not familiar with. But overall, I think it's a pretty balanced schedule for everyone.
All right, Mike. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you next week. Mike Claiborne and the Redbird Report, presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Or as we like to say in the studios, where the weekly show starts out with a sweltering heat wave.
Oh, my goodness.
It's trip
so
breaker
warm.
Again?
I don't know what it was.
It's not on, is it?
No, I don't believe so. When I walked in and Ms. Carolyn was here, and she's like, I've already called. And she came down and reported that they are going to be here first thing. I don't know what that means, like first thing. Business, so
yeah.
I just have
started like dressing like I'm going to the gym on like the first day back of the week.
Yes.
T-shirt. And literally, although it's to the point of almost distraction.
It's like, yeah, Speedo is probably.
By the way, District 61 letting out after 3 hours again. I mean, we ought to get the day off after 3 hours.
I know. And I have a feeling.
Because we don't even have windows that can open.
No, not at all.
All right.
Woo.
We've got to take a break. Did you hear the interview with Representative Mitchell?
I heard some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Were you yelling at me? On the radio, like just in the car?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he was like talking so softly.
I Jeff doesn't pay attention when he's in there. There's something about
what, I think it was just kind of like he just, you know, you'd come out and I'd turn it up to hear Bill, and he just talks so softly and kind of comes in and out of the mic. And
I know all these years he's really never learned to talk into the mic. And he has a voice that, for some reason, there are certain voices that don't get picked up by a microphone well. I don't know what that is.
I'm not sure, but yes, you're right. Dale is one.
Doug Coley's like that a little bit. I remember Betsy Stockard was always like, there was a fine, God rest in peace, like you couldn't hear her talk, but you could hear her breathe.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that
there are some voices that, for whatever reason, the pitch or whatever it is doesn't resonate with a microphone.
I have a hard time hearing Little Man, and it isn't because he talks softly.
He mumbles.
And he like talks so low.
Yeah, it's not bass.
No, it's something, but it's like at a weird megahertz or something.
Exactly. All right, our Hot 25 and a special announcement as it pertains to summer coming up on the other side of the break. Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast. It's hot, right?
It's hot, Bob. Sunny skies today and highs near 91 degrees. Then for tonight, clear, lows around 71. For your Wednesday, we're looking at a 30% chance of some showers, thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Mostly sunny, not cooling off, though. Highs are going to be around 90 degrees. Then Thursday, 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms, cloudy, and highs near 80. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 73 degrees.
Hi, this is JR from Speed Lube, and we know if you've got a diesel truck, you love it and want to take good care of it. And there is no better way than with Shell Rotella Motor Oil from Speed Lube. Whether you need T5 synthetic blend or T6 full synthetic oils for your truck, Speed Lube has you covered. And we will have you back on your way faster than anyone with no appointment necessary. And should your truck need more, we at Speed Lube can handle that too. But keep your diesel truck powering along at its best with Shell Rotella Motor Oil, and your next oil change is Speed Lube, with 6 Decatur area locations to serve you.
Did you know pharmacists count in ways you might not realize? In fact, your healthcare provider counts on your pharmacist as a medication expert to guard against those potential medication side effects. Local families count on us as reliable healthcare professionals for many of life's ailments. You can also count on our staff at Dale's Southlake or Coley's Corner Drugs to be your one-stop shop for over-the-counter medications, CBD oil, and unique gifts for every occasion. Call us today for free delivery or medication questions at 217-330-9552. Or 429-5165. We're friends helping friends.
And start packing.
This football season, support your favorite team your own way with custom printed spirit wear from Play It Again Sports. Come in and design your spirit wear today. And Play It Again Sports has everything you need to outfit your entire football team. Cleats, balls, pants, gloves, and even practice jerseys. As always, Play It Again Sports buys and sells pre-owned gear. Everybody plays at Play It Again Sports in the Brentwood Village Shopping Center in Decatur. Proud to be Decatur's only locally owned sporting goods store celebrating 25 years. Play It Again Sports.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
You have a list of things. None of those things say, wander around a warehouse looking for somebody to help you. Nope, you have a list of things and Ace has them. From lawn and garden brands you trust. We also have local experts who make sure you get everything you need. Because at Ace, we have our own list and great service is at the top.
Thanks for making Kenny's Ace your local place for paint and more. We're proud to be part of the Decatur community.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Hardly anyone calls me Maurice, but I am every once in a while referred to as the gangster of love. We're back here on a Tuesday. You rolled your eyes. How supportive are you as a producer?
I did no such thing.
Thank you very much. All right, we had the Arthur Cheese Festival, or as they like to call it, the Arthur Amish Country Cheese Festival, because if you put Amish in there, everybody wants to come. And the Labor Day Pops concert. It was so much fun. It was a great weekend, although it was a little warmer than I thought on Saturday down there in Arthur. By the way, we went to that Joan Winter art gallery that that Steve and Bob were telling us about, evidently one of Bob's neighbors. Moved here from, like, Pebble Beach to retire in Decatur and Arthur. I bet that story's never been told that way around.
Exactly.
Ever. In the history of ever. We'll take a break for the top of the hour news. Back with more right after this.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Now Decatur app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Now Decatur and WSOY.